by saying God has set each one of the members in the body just as he deemed. Think about that for a second. That whatever you are, Lewis, or whatever you are as an individual, God has seen fit and it pleased him to make you just the way that you are. Now that means if you're born in a time of incredible adversity, that maybe, just maybe, God knows that you have the fortitude and the faith to get through that where somebody else wouldn't. Or maybe you're born into a circumstance of incredible opportunity. You have amazing wealth. You're born into a family that never has to want for anything. Maybe, just maybe, God saw fit that in your life, you would be able to use that to further the borders of his kingdom. Whatever your situation is, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, God saw fit to make you just the way that you are. That sounds very denominational. That sounds very Joel Osteen-ish. But when you think about that, could anything be more true? If he wanted you something else, if he wanted you some other way, he would have made you some other way. He put things in your life, and you operate, and you're created the way that he wants you to be. And so when we think about covetousness, when we think about discontentment, the fact that I want all these things outside of this, really all it is the root of sin. There's a reason why Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, that Paul mentions that covetousness is idolatry. Because what covetousness does is it takes the things of this world that we don't have for whatever reason, that we will spend our life worshiping, and we put them in between us and God. And if we're sitting here this morning thinking to ourselves, I want this, I want that, I want that, it doesn't even have to be things. It can be attributes. It can be a lifestyle, whatever it is. We're thinking to ourselves, I want all these other things. Then we have made those things an idol. And we have coveted those things that we don't have right now for whatever reason. And we're no better than the people at the Tower of Babel who looked at their situation, looked at God's situation, and said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. And it's no different than David whenever he looked across the road and saw Bathsheba, who was not his wife and was not his, and said, I covet that. And then took her for himself because he was discontent with his life. The key to happiness, the key to obedience, the key to repentance is couched within contentment. And Paul knew that. I don't know who your favorite president is. Mine is Teddy Roosevelt, and I make no bones about that fact. I know a lot of people are Ronald Reagan fans. That's fine. If you have your own president, that's cool. My favorite president is Teddy Roosevelt. And there's a story about Teddy Roosevelt as he was hunting in the Dakotas, which he had a couple ranches in the Dakotas. He was famous for making most of his free time there. He took several ambassadors to have several heads of state out there when he was president. And at one particular point, he was arguing with a senator. I think it was a Democratic senator. He was a Republican. They were arguing about different policy decisions. And it went deep into the night while they were in their cabin. And Teddy Roosevelt, at one point, I think it was that he said around 2 to 3 in the morning, they just stopped. Teddy Roosevelt, in the middle of the conversation, got up and walked out the front door. And the other guy didn't know what was going on. And this guy just walks out the front door and stands outside and looks up into the sky. This guy says for at least 15 minutes. Doesn't say anything, doesn't put any commentary on the situation, just stares up at the sky. And then after 15 minutes, Teddy Roosevelt looked down, looked at the guy and said, okay, I feel small enough now. I can go back inside. Whenever we're going through the difficulties that life has, and whenever we're pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and always wanting bigger and better, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to improve your life, but whenever we're making an obsession with bigger and better and more powerful things, it's that point that we begin to believe that we're greater than God, or that we can be equal with him in some way. That was the sin that Eve committed, among a lot of things. That was the sin that the people at Babel committed. And that's the same sin that we commit if we make the things of this world our idol, when we're discontent with our life and all the blessings that God has given to us, that we would see if we would just open our eyes. The greatest blessing he's ever given to us is salvation. If you're here this morning, for some reason you're not a Christian, you're looking at the gift, you're looking at the Bible, and you're spurning it, and you're saying, that's not for me, then you're ignoring the greatest gift that God has ever blessed humanity and will ever bless humanity with. And I want to encourage you not to forsake it anymore. I would encourage you to grab it, to grab hold of it, and to dedicate your life to it, because nothing matters more than that. And I want to encourage you, if you have need, to do that as we stand, as we sing. Hear the sweet voice of